New Year, same extra value meals at McDonald's. So now get two snack wraps plus fries and a medium soft drink for just $8.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California and for delivery.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal, $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Ryan, once again, Burns Insurance is back for 2024 to support Gopher Gridiron Radio. I don't know if our listeners are like me, but maybe they saw that their insurance rates are going up. This time, now more than ever, it's important to reach out to Bill and his team because they work for you.
They certainly do. And the Burns Insurance Agency, owned by my father, Bill Burns, believes in service. They're not going to ever be the biggest one, but they're trying to be the best possible agent, putting your needs first, providing you with the service you deserve. So many of you, and I know it over the years, he tells me all the time that you Gopher fans contact him because you want an independent insurance agent. And to Luke's point, whether it's commercial, auto, home, whatever insurance needs you may have, and you think, boy, I'm paying a lot this year, just reach out to him. Go to insurancebyburns.com or email him at bill@insurancebyburns.com and get a free quote, because who doesn't want to support a giant Gopher fan who's also an independent local insurance agent here in the Twin Cities? So check him out today at insurancebyburns.com.
And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. And we made it, Luke Buer. We are finally about 72, 96, whatever how many hours away from kickoff. It's game week. It's only been 9 months, Mr. Buer. How excited are you now that you have a working air conditioner?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I'm excited for Gopher football to be back. I'm excited for BTUs, you know, to cool down my home in this hellacious weekend. Big shout out to my HVAC guy for helping me out there. But yeah, man, it's exciting to get back into the regular rhythm of talking college football and more importantly, Gopher football. And I'm excited we finally get to preview a real game instead of talking about the hypothetical.
I'm so tired about hypotheticals. I'm tired of projected depth charts. I'm tired of breakout players. I'm tired of all the things in between. I've gone through my recruiting cycle already. I'm excited to talk about 3 months of on-the-field Gopher football. 5-7 left a bad taste in my mouth. It left a bad taste in yours. Many of the fans listening. And now you get a true toss-up game coming up on Thursday night, which we'll get into the weather report. Might be a little wet. We'll have to see. But we actually get to talk about physical football that people can watch 7 p.m. on Fox if they're not participating in the Gold Out.
Yeah, so it'll be really fun to have the game back on the television or in person back at home. As we've talked about, this tradition has been really cool, having the season kick off on the Thursday during the state fair. And yeah, it's just awesome in general. So let's just get right into it, Ryan. You know, football is a game of attrition to a certain extent, and injuries are always a part of this game. And frankly speaking, you're not going to see an injury report until 2 hours before the game. So we do know that Daniel Jackson has been, been hampered through, through fall camp here. Darius Taylor got injured while media was at the practice. Those are two things that we kind of know about. Anything else we should be keeping an eye on for this opener against North Carolina?
I'm not too certain that there's many North Carolina injuries worth watching from talking with the folks at Inside Carolina, which that joint thread between the Gopher board and the UNC board is now, I think, 20, 25 pages deep, and we just got into game week. But it's always fun to see two fan bases like North Carolina and Minnesota where there's not a lot of animosity between the two. Yeah. And I know that a lot of Minnesota fans participated in tailgates out in Chapel Hill. And I know there's plenty of folks from Chapel Hill coming up here to the Twin Cities. And they're trying to get recommendations. This is what message boards are meant for, Luke.
Yeah, you know, the junk you have to deal with, you know, day to day, week to week, hour to hour, minute to minute. This is one of the bright, shiny spots of your message board.
So it's pretty cool to see that. But with injuries, it's going to come down to the two best skill position players on Minnesota's offense. You have Darius Taylor, who has, in his limited experience here at the University of Minnesota, quite an extensive injury history.
Correct. Now,
he's been banged up last fall, banged up this fall, banged up in the spring. I think he is a true 50-50 to play in this game. I can tell you that he has practiced, but whether that means he's going to play in this game or not, I don't know. I think it comes down to how he feels in that final 24-hour stretch, how he feels warming up for the game, because you also have to look down the line to you're not going to need him to probably beat Nevada or Rhode Island, certainly, but you're going to need him 100% healthy if you're going to put up enough points against Iowa to beat them. So we're going to see what happens between PJ Fleck, the training staff, and Darius Taylor on Thursday afternoon as he's getting warm. I am much more optimistic that Daniel Jackson plays. Daniel Jackson, Minnesota's all Big Ten receiver, their wide receiver one, hasn't participated much in training camp as he's dealing with an injury issue, but I feel very confident that he's going to be playing on Thursday night. So the one to watch, which is maybe why the betting lines on this game continue to swing back and forth, is Darius Taylor. And if he cannot go, I think you'll see a mix of Marcus Major, the Oklahoma transfer, Jordan Newbin, you'll remember down the stretch run in 2023, C.A. Bangura, and we might even be able to see a true freshman out there by the name of Femi Ijeboy. So if Darius cannot go, that's what I would expect. But even if Darius does go, Luke, I think he would probably be on a snap count where 15 to 25 snaps potentially. Now, when he's on the field, he's going to get the football, barring he doesn't re-injure himself, but it's going to be interesting because I know a lot of fans are accustomed to what we've seen the last few years where Minnesota rides a bell cow back. I'm going to continue to say this until I'm proven wrong on the field, but folks, the drumbeat has been very steady behind the scenes that they want to go with, some would say, a pair and a spare approach. They want to go by committee like they did in 2019, regardless of Darius Taylor's health, because they know they have to keep him healthy. So if he cannot go, I still think it'll be a by-committee approach, Mr. Buer.
All right. So typically this is the part of the episode, Ryan, where I give some statistics about, you know, rushing yards, points per game. We got none of that. So I got nothing to give here, nothing to preview because, there's been a lot of turnover for both of these squads, probably. The Gophers will be starting a brand new quarterback. North Carolina will be starting a brand new quarterback. We know some of the names that will be returning, but we don't have any game stats to go on. I'm not going to look back to last year because I think that's basically worthless. So we'll just get into when the Gophers are on offense, Ryan. This is going to be an offense that's going to be led by Max Brosmer. We do anticipate, much like last year's first game, that the Gophers will throw maybe a little bit more than they have traditionally done under a PJ Fleck led team. Frankly speaking, we already talked a little bit about Darius Taylor and how we're going to see probably a plethora of backs carrying the ball. But we also probably should touch on the fact that this is probably one of Minnesota's better offensive lines in recent memory. And if they can stay healthy with the guys in the spots they have, it could be one of the best lines in the PJ Fleck era.
It certainly can. When you start to look at this game, it's so tough to do because North Carolina has a new defensive coordinator in Jeff Collins, who you might remember most recently, I believe, was the head coach at Georgia Tech. He's also been at Temple. Why is he there? Because North Carolina's defense last year was hot garbage. They haven't been good for a couple of years now, and that's why Mack Brown elected to make a change, among other things, I would say. But Jeff Collins is in. And that's where, when you look at a Jeff Collins defense, or at least historically what he's done, he is someone who likes to change the picture, is what I'll call it. Now, what does that mean? He might show something pre-snap to Max Brosmer, and then post-snap do something completely different. So the picture is going to be changing awfully rapidly in front of Max's eyes. And that's where it wouldn't shock me at all to see Minnesota's offense struggle a little bit early in the game as they try to get accustomed to what actual looks that they're going to get and then adjust as the game goes on. And that's where the hope would be that the chess champion that is Max Brosmer, who, if you haven't read here in the month of August, loves to play chess in his free time, loves to beat offensive coordinator Greg Harbaugh and tell him about it. He is someone that you would hope that the intellect part of the game would come in and he'd be able to make adjustments with Harbaugh as you go throughout the second, third, and fourth quarter. Now, I think one of the interesting parts of within that, Luke, I will remind people, this is the first year that college football teams can have tablets on the sidelines.
Yeah.
So you can be able to look in real time instead of looking at printed off pictures off a printer. You can go back and look at the plays and see what the look was. You can communicate in the headset with Harbaugh, who will be up in the booth, get it down to Brosmer, work through it, try to make the fixes before you get into halftime. But this is also, when you look back at last year's game between the two teams, while Minnesota really struggled through the air, Ethan went 13 of 31. I think this was the game where Minnesota figured out, while we did have guys running wide open across the field, I remember a Corey Crooms cross-country route that was missed, the infamous Daniel Jackson late third quarter throw from Cole Kramer, where I'll die on the hill if Cole Kramer just throws it between the hashes. You can go back and watch that play. It's wide open for a touchdown. If he does that, it's 21-20 with 2 minutes left in the third quarter. And I think a lot of people in Chapel Hill start to get a little bit more puckered. Why? You know, starting off the season with some of these euphemisms, Luke.
Yeah, you're on a roll today. So
I am on a roll today. I'm hot. I'm way too warm. But you also look at the running game for Minnesota last season. Darius Taylor ran for over 5 yards a carry. That wasn't the issue. It was the inefficiency in the Minnesota passing game, which was the issue. Now, you look at North Carolina's defense, I'd say their best players are likely in the front seven, from what I understand, at least, or at least in my opinion, guys like Kamon Rucker, among others. But to your point, Luke, I think a lot of this game comes down to what you believe is the difference between Minnesota's offensive line, North Carolina's front seven, and then on the flip side, which we'll get to here in a minute, Minnesota's defensive line, linebacker crew against that North Carolina offensive line. Now, I would like to believe that Minnesota's offensive line, as you mentioned, which I also believe, like you do, has a chance to be one of the better ones, if not the best one in the Fleck era, which would, in my opinion, rival that 22 offensive line that had three All Big Ten performers at the end of the season. They have to get going as the game goes on.
Mm-hmm.
They have to, because whether Darius Taylor's playing or not, they have to make sure that Max Brosmer and this offense can remain on schedule. It's going to be absolutely crucial every single game, including this one on Thursday night, that Minnesota, one of the things you can watch from your television set or from your seat at Huntington Bank Stadium, on these second and third downs, see if it's second and short and third and short, or if it's instead second and medium, third and long. For an offense like Minnesota that has struggled in the last 13 games, they need to do a much better job of getting to second and third and short. The other thing that I remember about this game last year, Luke, is Minnesota struggled to punch the ball in.
Mm-hmm.
And in a game where you're probably going to have to score 24, 28 points to be able to come away with a victory, you have to be much better in the red zone. So the hope would be that Mr. New Hampshire, Max Brosmer, can lead this team down the field. But to me, it comes down to the offensive line.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that's always difficult early is this is the first time you're getting to play against a different defensive line. You're going to see a lot of stunts, maybe a lot of twists, blitzes, etc. That communication is going to be key, especially on the offensive line. And we have seen Brian Callahan-led lines sometimes struggle with that early in the season. I specifically think back to like 2019, 2020. That was definitely a problem, but that obviously improved with time. You hope that this more veteran group, Ryan, can handle, you know, the multiple fronts they might see, the pressure they might see, and give their new quarterback an opportunity to just succeed.
100%. I don't know that I got nothing more to add than that.
All right. So let's talk then when the Gophers are on defense. This is going to be a unique test, right? Omarion Hampton is largely probably one of the consensus top running backs in the country. But yet I think North Carolina, as far as I'm aware, you know, has largely a brand new offensive line and new quarterback, right? So they will be taking on one of the better skill position players they're probably going to see all season. But they're also going to be taking on a lot of new that's got to gel together. This Gopher offensive line, as you noted in previous episodes, Ryan, this Gopher's defense, you noted in previous episodes, did really well actually against limiting Omarion Hampton last year. But it was Drake May that absolutely just killed them, especially in third and long situations. So I'm very curious to see what you think might happen in this specific game with all these changes that we'll see on Thursday.
Well, that's where the transitive property in college football rarely ever is true. But it is worth noting that in that game last year where North Carolina scores 31 points, their two stud tailbacks in British Brooks, and then you're going to hear the name quite a bit here in this next 72-96 hours, Omarion Hampton, who is their preseason All-American running back for the North Carolina Tar Heels, they didn't run the ball well with them at all. Minnesota, which in hindsight being 2020 now, we found out that the run defense was trash. In conference play, at least, it was.
No doubt.
Where Minnesota got obliterated on the ground, allowed almost 5 yards a carry, which was worse than the conference, allowed nearly 166 rushing yards per game. Well, in a road environment in the ACC, Omarion Hampton and British Brooks combined to run for under 3 yards a carry on 24 carries. So my question is this. Drake May's gone. Everybody knows that. He was the number 3 overall pick in the draft. In comes likely starter. Now, North Carolina is not naming a starter because they're being petty at Minnesota for not releasing a depth chart. So my favorite thing to talk about every single week continues to make other people feel some type of way. But it's likely going to be Brad Johnson's kid. And you're thinking to yourself, Ryan, do you mean that Brad Johnson?
Yeah, that Brad Johnson, number 14.
Minnesota Vikings legend Brad Johnson.
Legend, let's maybe hold the horses a tiny bit. But yeah, okay.
Well, you're the one.
I'm old enough to remember him.
People that he should go into the Vikings Hall of Fame.
Yeah, right.
Look, I have receipts. If people want to see them, they know how to find me. But Brad Johnson's kid, Max Johnson, is going to be the one taking over more than likely. Now, he's an interesting case, Luke. I'll tell you this much. If you were to just scout the stat line and if you just look at the box scores, you'd think this guy is going to be another first-round pick for North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Someone that has played a lot of football at LSU, Texas A&M, and you just look at the stats, he's got 47 passing touchdowns and only 12 interceptions. That's a 4-1
mm-hmm.
touchdown to interception
ratio. That's great, yeah.
But then you talk to anybody who's watched him play, certainly a lot more than me, and they're like, there's a reason why he is continually moving around. From talking with people in the SEC, here was their explanation to me. He's okay to good, but he has been beat out at every single one of these stops. Where you look at most recently where he was, I believe at Texas A&M, he lost the bet. He battled for the starting position the last 2 years, but didn't end up winning. Lost out to Haynes King in 2022, Connor Weigman in 2023, and then Johnson himself then had season-ending injuries in both of those years. One was a broken hand. One was some broken ribs. Now, he's a bigger guy. He's taller and more athletic than Dad was from his Vikings years, but he's someone that is inconsistent. He's not going to beat you with his legs more often than not, and that's where North Carolina might go to a two-quarterback rotation where if the other guy comes in the game, folks, they're going to be running the football with him. It's going to essentially be a wildcat type of situation because that guy is much, much more athletic. But it comes down to this. If I'm Chip Lindsey, who is the Tar Heels offensive coordinator, you know what the first thing I'm going to figure out if Minnesota can stop or not?
The run.
The run.
Yeah.
I am testing them early and often throughout the first 20 minutes of the game on my first three drives with different looks to try and see can Minnesota stop the run this year. Now, I know they stopped it last year, but when Drake May goes nuclear for 450 total yards, including, I think, 430 of them through the air, it's going to look a little bit different. But that's going to be the key here is can they limit Omarion Hampton, not let him going? Because if Max Johnson has to beat you for four quarters, it might be a Jeff Sims type of situation that you'll remember last year in the opener where give Max Johnson enough opportunities to potentially make a mistake, whether that's with a strip sack, whether that's putting the ball in harm's way. That's the more possible scenario there. But it's going to be up to this Gopher defensive line because this is a North Carolina offensive line that is replacing four starters, three of them to graduation, and they're starting left tackle left to go to Ole Miss. So they're only returning one guy on the interior, that's Willie Lampkin. And they, while they did bring in four transfer offensive linemen, that is a unit that hasn't played a lot of football together. And so that would be, if I'm Corey Heatherman, and I have a history of James Madison, Minnesota's defensive coordinator now, at James Madison in May, and it giving a lot of different looks. I am trying to stunt and twist the absolute crap out of this offensive line to not let Max Johnson find a couple of playmakers through the air, such as all ACC tight end Bryson Nesbitt, or Gopher fans may remember the name Nate McCollum because he went crazy against the Gophers with 15 catches in that game against your Golden Gopher squad. So if they can stop the run and get pressure, it's a much different game.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's the same old, like we saw throughout the essentially the duration of the Big Ten where they couldn't stop the run, and because they couldn't stop the run, they couldn't get off the field on third down, this game is going to be a much more higher scoring affair if Minnesota's going to be able to win it. So a lot of it comes down to, can the Gopher front seven, specifically the Devin Eastern, Jod Joyner, Jalen Logan Redding, Danny Strigals of the world, among others, can they step up and provide the physicality like we saw against North Carolina last year?
All right, so let's catch a quick break for an ad, Ryan, before we get into your keys to the game. So again, back for this season is Team Dinkytown Real Estate. A reminder for all those who are unfamiliar, Team Dinkytown Real Estate takes 1% of the purchase price and gives that back to Dinkytown athletes to be able to give into the sport of their choice to be able to, you know, be used for NIL efforts. This is an awesome opportunity for people that are buying or selling houses to be able to put a significant amount of money into Dinkytown athletes to support Gopher Athletics. And Ryan, they've been very, very successful at getting, you know, great prices for people selling and having awesome experiences for customers, you know, that have been looking to buy recently.
100%. And some of you may ask yourself, well, who actually is using these guys? We have had multiple listeners with positive, outstanding experiences with Team Dinkytown, where they have then gone to the lovely folks there, come back to us and said it was a great experience. Well, okay, I'm looking to buy or sell. What do I have to do? If you want to just go online, check it out as you're scrolling through your phone, go to teamdinkytown.com. You can see some of the ones they have listed now, some of the ones they've already sold from the looks of it, easily $25,000 over asking. Or if you want to give them a phone call, go to 612-250-8562.
Ryan, and again, we're sponsored by Homefield Apparel. Homefield has that exclusive licensed apparel that has incredible vintage designs that is incredibly comfortable. If you're needing some premium outerwear, whether that's t-shirts, sweatshirts, you know, hoodies, whatnot. They have it, Ryan. And frankly speaking, if you have a son or daughter, or maybe even yourself, that you need to just get ready for this new school year, for this college football season, they've got it covered, from Gopher apparel to almost any college that you might want to support. It's just awesome stuff.
It is awesome stuff. And that's where we've seen a couple of these Minnesota football boxes they started selling.
Yes.
Starting to ship, starting to get to some of our listeners who use the lovely promo code of GG and the numbers 24 at checkout and got 15% off. That stuff looks insanely nice. And the packaging it even came in was second to none, Luke.
Yeah, the box looked awesome. It had to be just a great experience. Appreciate everyone that was able to support that and keep the Gophers in the top five of the entire country in the number of boxes sold when they launched that. We appreciate the support. I know home field appreciates the support, and you're going to appreciate just how awesome this stuff is. Again, use the promo code GG24 to save 15% on your first order, and you will not regret that purchase. All right, Ryan. Let's get back to our regularly slated facts and figures. So again, not a lot of facts and figures to share, but this game is on Fox. It's on August 29th at 7 p.m. I think I saw that Brock Huard is the color commentator. I didn't see who is going to be the play-by-play person. But for those of you watching on television, Fox always has done a pretty good job when they've come for these national games. Always fun to get some national exposure. Anything TV you want to add before I move on to things like the weather?
It'll be Jason Benetti.
Benetti, okay. Nice, okay. That's a solid crew.
And Allison Williams in the sideline. So if that's your decision to stay home on Thursday night and not participate in the Gold Out, you'll get a nice crew.
Yeah, and I think there are still a really good deal. Is that $30 ticket deal still happening for the state fair?
Correct, as it does every single year. And I know I've had some people say, well, Gopher fans, they're not coming out. They do this
deal every year. Yes.
State fair.
Yes.
Yes, there's still tickets available. There's not a ton. But if you're thinking to yourself, I want to go to the Gopher game on Thursday night, I'm going to go get some $30 tickets. I'll call some buddies. Let's go have some fun in the tailgate lots, which will open at 1 p.m., folks, 1 p.m. Central. They open 6 hours ahead of time. I believe that's still the situation, even with the fair. Go take advantage of that deal.
Yeah, absolutely. So the other this is more less of a fact, and this is more of a fact than it is a figure, I should say. This is a Gold Out, Ryan, so make sure that you wear your gold if you're a Gopher fan. Maybe an opportunity to go get something from home field or whatnot. I don't know if the shipping is going to work out, but make sure you have something gold. And then looking at the weather, Ryan, we're going to have to be prepared. All right. This is Minnesota. The weather can change on a dime. Currently, as we sit, we're recording here on a Sunday night, trying to get this preview out early for those of you that might be traveling in. But this Thursday night game, I'm looking at a high of 73, but Ryan, a good portion of this day, there is a 70 to 75% chance of rain. Around kickoff time, what I'm seeing right now is, let's see, 7 p.m. Okay, about a 47% chance of rain, and that's going to be declining as it goes. But we know this is Minnesota. This could obviously change. This could be wet. It could be dry. It could be you just need a towel to wipe your seat off. It's really hard to say, but you might want to have a gold poncho, whatever. You just got to be prepared for this one, folks.
You do. I'd also say we are way too far out to know exactly
way too
when
far.
The rain will be here, when it won't. Like, give it time. Say Wednesday night, you're going to bed, you're excited because the next day you're going to be heading down to the stadium. Just flip on CCO or Fox 9 or wherever your favorite.
The updraft log.
Because I can assure you the models will be pretty consistent at that point. If there is going to be rain coming through, sounds like at some point in the day there will be. To Luke's point, it sounds like by kickoff it'll be tapering off. Just watch the weather before you come on down on Wednesday night, Thursday morning. There's a 50% chance there's still nothing. But the nice part to me is, Luke, the temperature.
Yes.
For the incredibly, incredibly warm weekend and into Monday that we've had, it's going to be, I believe, a high in the low 70s for this game. So it's not going to be overly hot, especially if the rain clears out. It's going to be a beautiful fall evening at Huntington Bank Stadium.
Correct. All right. So let's get to some of the betting lines here and reviewing what we had in the preseason. So for this season, I am going to use ESPN Bet, maybe much to the chagrin of everyone else, but it does a nice job and it's easy to find and it gives me all of the data that I need. So as we are looking at this today, this is what we will be making our predictions on. Currently, North Carolina sits as a 1-point favorite with the over-under being 50.5, Ryan. If we go back to our preview episode, which everyone should check out if they haven't yet, we go game by game and predict a score as well, you know, an outcome and a score for every single game. Ryan gives a lot of really good rationale. I give a lot of good, just hot smoke. You know,
it's, the kids would say you just give some pretty good vibes.
Yeah, good vibes, a little hot air there too. But Ryan, in the preseason, you picked the Gophers to win 24-23. I picked 24-21 with the Gophers coming out on top. So both of us happened to be under the over under. Ryan, you were at 47 and I was at 45. But both of us picked the Gophers to cover in this situation. We'll get back to this later after your keys to the game. But I did find that interesting. And we did designate this as one of our coin flip games. You and I both designated it a coin flip game. So, Ryan, I'm going to give you the floor to give us your keys to the game for the Gophers to find success and get that first victory against North Carolina on Thursday.
If they're going to do so, I would advise offensively, it'd be nice to generate some explosive plays and then be efficient in the red zone. Now, you think back to last season. I know some of you don't want to do so, but it was a year of transition for this offense with a brand new offensive coordinator in Greg Harbaugh and a new guy taking the snaps in Ethan Calliope-Manis. Truth be told, the stats also reflected that because the Illinois product struggled to be consistent. So did his pass catchers, and the Gopher offense finished bottom four in passing efficiency, their lowest mark since 2017. Yards per attempt at 6, their lowest mark of the entire Fleck era. Completion percentage at a balmy 52%, lowest since 2017. And yards per game was a putrid 143. Now, it wasn't all on Ethan and Harbaugh. I mentioned it. The receiving corps struggled. I've said this stat so many times, I cannot wait to never say it again after this episode, but they had as many drops as they did contested catch wins per Pro Football Focus. That's not anywhere where you want to be. Now, I'd also say, we all know this, but Minnesota struggled to generate explosive plays, specifically explosive passing plays. They were 119th in the country in 10 yards or more completions. They were 104th in 30-plus yard, and they were dead last in 40 and 50-plus yard completions. Luke, can you guess how many they had?
7?
Minnesota did not complete a pass over 40 yards last year.
Oh, yeah.
That's how brutal this thing was.
Yeah.
Now, that can't happen again if Minnesota is going to find a way to a bowl game, but more importantly, win the game in game one. Now, you've got a new quarterback, and the New Hampshire kid, Max Brosmer, someone that the Gopher staff is essentially going above and beyond, in my eyes, to give praise to. You know, some of the quotes that Harbaugh gave last week to the media was, and I quote, "Very confident in Max. I've had this conversation with him before. We knew it was going to be a transition process, but he's done a phenomenal job of taking each experience in spring ball training camp and throughout the summer, and he's putting that to good use." And this will be the quote that I can get Gopher fans a little bit excited. Harbaugh said, and I quote, "He's rolling. He's in a good state mentally, which I'm really excited about," end quote. Now, we've all heard it before, but here's what I would say. Brosmer is a veteran. In my eyes, he is. Now, I understand that some people don't think FCS experience is the same thing. He's played a lot of football before. This moment isn't going to be too big for him on Thursday night. Now, if he could just be consistent, which we can go back to last year one last time, Luke, and say first half Ethan versus second half Ethan were very different players for whatever the reason was. I think so many college football coordinators would tell you if they just knew what player they were going to get for 60 minutes, mm-hmm. that would be a big step forward. So the hope would be Brosmer can be consistent. Now, if you also go back and watch the game last year, Now, it is a different defensive coordinator, but there were plays all over the field for the passing game, and they just couldn't hit them. So it comes down to this. I want to see Minnesota get off on the right foot just like you do, but they have to put themselves in better positions on early downs. If you're consistently seeing in this game that Minnesota's in second and third and long, it's going to be really tough for them to win. If they're consistently in second and third and short, they're going to be cooking with a little bit of gas here. And so that would be the hope, would be you can generate some explosive plays to Daniel Jackson, Darius Taylor, whoever's out there, but they also need to do a better job in the red zone. Minnesota finished 93rd in college football last fall in red zone touchdown percentage at just under 60%, 57.5. They need to do a better job of once you get inside the 30, once you get inside the 20, that touchdown percentage has got to jump to at least 2/3 in my eyes. You got to jump a full 10%. Now, you're going to need guys like Elijah Spencer, Lamecki Brockington, Christian Driver, Jamison Gears, whoever it may be, to take a step forward. But offensively, Luke, it's this. You need to be able to be in better situations as an offense, which means second and third and short, which means you're efficient. And when you're efficient, that play card for Greg Harbaugh gets exponentially bigger, and the leeway from PJ Fleck to take a shot in those situations also becomes bigger. If you're consistently in second and third and long, the defense likely knows a shot play could be coming. So the hope would be Brosmer and this offense can take a step forward on Thursday night. Now, defensively, we've talked a lot about it already, but limit Omarion Hampton, the All-American tailback for the Tar Heels, and make their new transfer quarterback, Max Johnson, beat you. It's an interesting discussion point. I won't go fully over it, but Omarion Hampton and their other tailback, British Brooks, ran for under 3 yards a carry on 24 attempts last year in what turned out to be a bad run defense. Does that translate to this fall, especially when North Carolina is replacing most of their offensive line? We'll find out. But if I'm the Tar Heel offensive coordinator and Chip Lindsey, I'm finding that out early and often. Because if Minnesota can stop the run and make Max Johnson beat them, that's where they want to live. Then Ja Joyner can pin his ears back along with Danny Strigow, Anthony Smith, whoever else. But if you're consistently just allowing them to get 5-6 yards a clip, and then they can break one for 30 to 40, then the game becomes a lot more difficult. So if you stop Omarion Hampton and make Max Johnson beat you, that's where I want to live. And then the final one, I usually say for special teams, but in week one, we're going to get a little bit of a special, Luke.
All right.
Are you okay with that? No special team talk from me, trying to turn over a new leaf.
Yeah, too many unknowns.
This is what I want to try to hammer home to you, the listener. If you did not watch any of the college football games from this past weekend, whether it was the game in Dublin between Florida State or Georgia Tech, or if you weren't grinding out the Montana State versus New Mexico game, potentially SMU versus future Gopher opponent Nevada as well, here's my last key, and this is for you. Week one in college football is an outlier, so try not to overreact either way. Think of some of the things that you thought about this Gopher team last year after they beat Nebraska in that insane comeback with the Daniel Jackson toe drag and then Dragan Kesich puts it away. You thought, okay, Minnesota's offense is going to struggle. Minnesota's defense is still really good. Minnesota's going to throw the football a lot. They threw it 40 times in this game. Here we go. Turns out the defense was not good. Turns out Minnesota couldn't throw the football, and the offense actually wasn't okay. So whether it's just the first half of play versus the second half, because I can think back to even the Florida State game this past weekend. Florida State looked like they were humming through that opening drive, did whatever they want, a hot knife through butter. Everybody thought, here we go, Florida State. Well, it turns out when you get off your opening script and you actually have to play another 8 to 10 drives, it's going to look a little bit different. So here's what I want. When it turns out no one has film on each other, and in specifically in this Minnesota-North Carolina game, both teams have drastically new personnel, say new quarterbacks with new defensive coordinators. It's really hard to predict outcomes. And when you look at the first 30 minutes of the game on Thursday night, it's going to look a lot different than the last 30 minutes when everybody makes their adjustments, because both teams are going in blind to what the other is going to look like formation and personnel-wise. So it doesn't mean that this game doesn't count. I want to make sure I'm clear in that. And the first half counts the same as the second half, but just take a deep breath after the first quarter, second quarter, as you're going on, everybody's adjusting to one another. Especially as we continue to go deeper into the season, it'll be a better test of a truer test of what these teams are. But with just no preseason film, it's going to be the biggest game of adjustments all fall. So keep that in the back of your mind as you settle into whether it's your recliner at your home or it's the seat back at Huntington Bank Stadium.
All right. So we probably should get to our predictions. Just to remind you, the listener, the line on this currently as it sits on Sunday night is North Carolina favored by 1 with an over-under of 50.5. Ryan, I am going to stick with my preseason prediction. I am going to say the Gophers win 24-21. They do just enough and walk off in dramatic fashion like they did last season against Nebraska, and Dragon Kesich is once again the hero to close out game number one of the season.
Can you remind me and also the listener with the Vegas stuff? Because we talked about it in the pre-production meeting. Minnesota, so when this line opened up, North Carolina was a 1.5 favorite. Over the weekend, I know it swung to Minnesota. It was a 2.5-point favorite, so that's a 4-point swing. And now it has swung all the way back to what it opened at. So can you remind the listeners and myself what that could possibly mean?
I think there's a couple things that are possible. They either have some sort of intel, which I think is less likely. The other could be just literally the flow of money, right? Like a fair amount of money came in on North Carolina to cover. So now they're trying to get some money back on Minnesota to cover the -1. That's where I would probably assume. Maybe listeners can tell me, but I don't actually know how to see where money's coming in and where it sits.
I'm sure there's a specific website, but I know what you're talking
about. I just don't know. That's my assumption. I mean, if you look at, like, for instance, I looked at Kelly Ford's latest prediction while we were chatting, Ryan. Kelly has this one is a 50%, you know, like literally a 50-50 draw. You know, this is a coin flip, like literally the coin flip. And part of it is we just don't know what we don't know, right? So I think it's going to be a great test. And, you know, as we've talked about previously, if you can win this one, your chances of being bowl eligible help a ton if you're a Gopher fan.
That is certainly true. So here's what I'll say. My prediction is a little bit different than what I gave a week ago. But if Fleck and Minnesota are going to walk out of Huntington Bank Stadium with a win, it comes down to the same formula as most Gopher victories that folks have witnessed for the last 7 years. You win time of possession, you win the explosive play margin, and you don't miss as many tackles as the other team. Now, some people call it the 78%, and if you've been to a Gopher football practice in the last now 8 years, you'll see it plastered all over the walls. That's what Fleck is constantly referring to within that 78%. If you want to get even more micro within it, which team can stop the run and which team can run the ball? That's what I really think it comes down to. You have an All-American tailback who we know is healthy, and Omarion Hampton for North Carolina. You have an All-Big Ten caliber running back in Darius Taylor, who we don't know is even going to play in this game. Now, even if he does not, you still have some quality tailbacks behind him. I think it comes down to which offensive and defensive line do you trust?
Mm-hmm.
And I trust Minnesota's a little bit more, especially offensive line-wise. You return 5 guys that started games last year. You have 3 potential All-Big Ten guys in Tyler Cooper, Ariante Ursary, and Quinn Carroll. And then Minnesota's defensive line shut down the run last year. Now it's going to look a little bit different, especially early in the game. But I think as the game goes on, if Minnesota can just position themselves within a score at halftime, let alone be winning the football game at halftime, as this game goes on, I think you will see Minnesota's offensive and defensive lines become more and more physical, start to impose their will a little bit more. And that's where I think that's what's going to matter at the end of the game. So I'm going to say once both sides settle in, the real football game begins, and I have more faith in the Minnesota moving companies on both sides of the football. Minnesota 26, North Carolina 24. So that would be a North Carolina.
So you're taking the under and you're taking a Minnesota cover.
Death taxes and me essentially taking the under on every single football game in the Big Ten is probably going to be a theme this year. So I'm going to take Minnesota in the points. Well, I'm so bad at this because I don't bet because I can't, I will not bet on college football. So I'm so bad at all that stuff. But that's what I'm thinking is, and I feel much better about the under than I do whether you want to take North Carolina plus whatever versus Minnesota. But I do think once things start to settle down a little bit, you're going to see both teams try to play ball control. And if nobody's able to generate explosives, that's how you get an easy under.
All right, so we both are taking the under, and we both are taking Minnesota to cover. It'll be a fun game to check out. So we probably should take a glimpse around the Big Ten, Ryan, and I am going to have to admit to you right now, we started this a handful of years ago, and I'm kind of dreading this going forward because there are so many more games, and especially in the non-conference. For those of you that actually... cover all of the Big Ten games. Boy, this is now very tough. But yeah, so we're gonna
be much more brief than we used to be, or at least I'm gonna aspire to be.
Yeah, and I, you know, not all these games have lines, so we're gonna do the best we can. But games on Thursday, August 29th, will feature Howard traveling to Rutgers, a 5 p.m. game on Big Ten Network, and it does not have a line, Ryan.
The Ethan Calliope-McManus story begins. I'm going to be very curious to see what it looks like against a bad Howard team, but I also think Kirk Soraka. I will set the over-under to you, Luke. Kirk Soraka pass attempts in this game, 16 and a half.
Oh, under.
I like that for you.
Okay. Next game will be Eastern Illinois at Illinois. This is an 8 p.m. kick on Big Ten Network. The get-in price is $2, and there are no odds.
To me, I want to see what this Illinois team's about this year. Is it going to be the same as we always see with Brett Bielema coach teams, very physical teams, teams that just want to run the football? And I want to see my first look at Luke Altmyer in year two as a Fighting Illini.
All right, let's move to our Friday games, August 30th. This is going to feature Florida Atlantic at Michigan State. This is a 6 p.m. kick on Big Ten Network. Michigan State is a 14-point favorite with the over-under being 47.5.
The Joe Rossi era begins, Luke. I know you will be tuned in to BTN to see what his revamped year one defense looks like against one of your – was this your fourth college you went to in FAU?
Yeah, absolutely. I followed Brian Greenlee down there. Okay, so next features Western Michigan traveling to Wisconsin, an 8 p.m. kick on FS1. Wisconsin is a 24.5 favorite with an over-under of 56.5.
Let's see what the Dairy Raid looks like in year two. Let's see if Tyler Van Dyke can get off to a hot start against Flex former team. And Friday night, you got nothing better to do. 8 p.m. FS1. See what the Badgers look like in that home opener.
All right. And then we got a big slate of games here on Saturday, August 31st. The first being number 8 Penn State going to West Virginia. This is
at the get-in price for that game.
Yeah, $239 according to ESPN. 11 o'clock game on Fox. Penn State is an 8.5-point favorite with the over-under being 51.5.
This is where I get to alert people that here's your useless piece of information today. Luke, one of my top three karaoke songs is the one that West Virginia sings after their games. And I hope that that is something anywhere near close, because this will be the game I'm tuned into more than likely, other than trying to get a glimpse of what it in the world it looks like in our next game. But I think Penn State eventually runs away with this thing, but I don't think it's anywhere close to 51 points.
All right. Illinois State will be traveling to Iowa. This is 11 o'clock game on Big Ten Network. There is absolutely no line.
I believe there is a line. Iowa's a 26.5-point favorite. Kirk Ferentz won't be coaching on the sidelines because he tampered with Cade McNamara back in the day. And good thing you get to have Kirk Ferentz learn his lesson in a 4-touchdown home favorite game against an FCS opponent. That'll really teach him, Luke.
Yeah, I'm going by ESPN bet in the odds there. They don't have a line, but there very well might be one. So don't scream into the ether. This is just what I'm doing. I'm trying to do my best here. UConn travels to Maryland for an 11 a.m. kick on FS1. The get-in price is $2, and Maryland is favored by 20. The over
$2?
Yeah, $2. That's a I'm going to call out these like sub $5 ones just for the record. And the over under is 45.5.
$2. I can't get stuck. There's multiple games on here.
I would 100% if I was living, you know, in the greater DC area, or I can't remember if Maryland's close to DC. If I was close, I would definitely be checking this out.
100%. I expect Maryland to steamroll UConn.
All right. Indiana State travels to Purdue for an 11 a.m. kick. This is our last of the 11 a.m. kicks. This will be on Big Ten Network. The get-in price is $4, and I don't see a line.
The Missouri Valley is certainly going to be tested. That's what I'm going to say. With yet another Big Ten game, let's see what it looks like in year two of Ryan Walters.
All right, Akron, I think they regularly make an appearance in Columbus. I'm going off memory. They're going to take on number 2 Ohio State on a 2:30 kick on ESPN. And Ohio State is a 50-point favorite. The over-under is 57.5.
50-point favorite in a home opener is bananas,
yeah.
Even if you are Ohio State. You could win this game 56-7 and not cover. There's no shot I would be laying any money on Ohio State to cover a 50-point line.
All right, Florida International travels to Indiana for a 2:30 kick on Big Ten Network. Iowa is a 21-point favorite with a 50.5 over-under.
Speaking of, that would be Indiana to you in the first game of the Kirk Cignetti era.
Ah, yes.
For Indiana. I know someone that Daniel House is very high on. Anybody cares? I have a little bet with House for coffee where he thinks Indiana is going to start red hot, 5-1, 6-0. This is going to have to be a win for them at home if that's going to be the case.
All right. UTEP travels to Nebraska for a 2:30 kick in year two of Mr. Rule. The Cornhuskers are a 27.5-point favorite. The over-under is 48.5.
I just can't imagine betting on any of these games. In week one,
you got to be a degenerate, but people.
You
will.
Have to be incredibly confident that you know something that people don't. Because if we have learned anything from last weekend, these 2, 3, even 4 touchdown favorites had no shot of covering. But year one, game one of the Dylan Raiola era. We're going to get to see what that thing is about on 2:30 on Fox.
All right. Miami of Ohio travels to Northwestern. 2:30 kick on Big Ten Network. Nebraska is a 2.5-point favorite with the over-under being 42.5. The get-in price for this game, Ryan, is $61. And I will tell you, this is probably because of the limited capacity there on the lake.
Well, it's a good thing it's Northwestern, not Nebraska.
Oh, did I say Nebraska? I meant more Northwestern. Sorry, my bad.
I'm going to be watching this game just for the novelty of trying to get used to them playing
100%.
It. Essentially is a high school practice field alongside Lake Michigan, which maybe it'll actually look like Northwestern has fans now, and maybe it'll actually attract fans because of the novelty.
Yeah.
This is a pretty big spot game for Northwestern early in the season. If they're going to be getting to a bowl game, they're going to have to take care of Miami of Ohio here. And then Vegas is pretty high on the Red Hawks there.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be kind of cool just to see what that looks like. And it's actually they've done a pretty good job with the setting there. I've seen some images I thought were very cool. Okay, Idaho travels to Oregon, number 3 Oregon, a 6:30 kick. There, I think this will be Oregon's first time featured as a Big Ten home team on Big Ten Network. So kudos to them. There's absolutely no line on this game.
Yeah, for the next two, we can just kind of group them together in Idaho, Oregon, and Fresno State, Michigan. I don't expect this to be much.
Yeah, what's happening with Michigan is the head coach going to be suspended for the entire year?
It's to be determined. I think by the time people listen to this podcast,
we'll know.
We're going to know what the ramifications are, because if the NCAA actually wants to come down, they can, because technically, because of the recruiting incident and the Connor Stallions incident are two different incidents. They've already ruled on the recruiting one, which is why Jim Harbaugh is now suspended for a year if he were to return to college football. Well, guess who also is named in that? New head coach, Sherrone Moore. So if they wanted to come down with the Connor Stallion stuff, technically Sherrone Moore would be a repeat offender. And he could be suspended, I think, for maybe a more lengthy amount of time. But likely by the time people are listening to this, we know the answer to that. But Fresno State also just lost their head coach, I think, in the last month or so. Jeff Tedford, I believe, stepped away. So I don't expect either one of these two games to be too interesting in the fourth quarter. But if you are looking for something to watch, you've now got college football in the Big Ten all day.
Absolutely. And then UCLA travels to Hawaii to play a 6:30 p.m. kick on CBS. UCLA is a 14-point favorite with a 55.5 over-under.
This feels like a game that's going to be weird. What I mean by that is Hawaii's already played.
Yep.
UCLA has to travel out to the Big Island. You got to go across the ocean. It's year one, game one of a new head coach. Would it shock you if the Rainbow Warriors put up a much bigger fight than some people anticipate?
Not at all. Wouldn't surprise me at all. Okay, Weber State heads to Washington.
Kickoff time.
Yeah, 10 p.m. on Big Ten Network, too. $4 to get in. I'm not seeing a line. None.
10 p.m., you're settling in, want to put something on instead of the news. Well, guess what? Instead of Pac-12 after dark, it's now Big Ten after dark. You can legitimately watch Big Ten football for 14 consecutive hours. What a time to be alive.
All right. I think, Ryan, this is the only game, the last game on Sunday, September 1st, where a Big Ten team is not, well, I guess other than Minnesota, is not favored. So this will feature number 23 USC at LSU, who's number 13 for a 6:30 kick on ABC. LSU is currently a 4-point favorite with a 63.5 over-under.
We're going to find out a lot about both teams, and you have two of the most well-known head coaches in Chip Kelly versus Lincoln Riley. We're going to find out a lot about if this LSU team is going to be as ballyhooed as a lot of people think. I kind of consider this more of a home game for USC, considering it's just in Vegas compared to Baton Rouge all the way.
Yeah.
But the novelty is there. I'm sure there'll be fans on both sides. This feels like one that's going to go down to the wire. Now, it's easy for me to say that as this game's only a 4-point swing, but we've seen some weird Sunday games across college football over the years in this opening weekend. If you ask me today, I think LSU ends up winning this game, but we're going to have to see. Betting against a Lincoln Riley quarterback has not been a winning proposition for quite a long time. So we'll see if Miller Moss is the next one to take that step.
All right, Ryan. Well, it's going to be fun to watch some real football, both watching the Gophers and also around the Big Ten, really the new Big Ten. So I'm looking forward to it. Any parting thoughts before we go?
I'm excited to talk football. I'm excited to watch football. I'm excited to see how Minnesota deploys so many of their players. We've heard about all these defensive rotations coming. We've heard about who could potentially be playing, who couldn't be. Now we get our first glimpse behind the curtain. You get your first chance to see what this Gopher team will look like. But the last thing I want to say is this. I want to stress again to not overreact, because I even think back to that magical 2019 run, Luke.
Yeah.
Do you think people were thinking after South Dakota State Jackrabbits took them to the wire that team was capable of winning 11 games that year?
Oh, yeah. Or you know, Georgia State or Fresno State. Or
Tottenham Bell.
Yeah.
Antoine Winfield performance against Fresno State.
Yeah.
Demetrius Douglas 3rd and 30 against Georgia Southern.
I mean,
there's a lot that has to be figured out yet. So let's see what the first 8.5% of this thing looks like.
All right, Ryan, something to give the people to look forward to. We will come back with a breakdown. We will not be joined by Derek Burns until conference play, but we have worked out that Daniel House is going to join us to break down at least his first game, maybe even all the non-conference games. We're going to try twist his arm into it, but he at least committed to join us one time. So we're looking forward to that.
Yes, Daniel House, as I'm sure many of you guys listened to already when we did our All Big Ten draft, which I'm excited to announce without any games played yet, that I know I have won that draft. You've missed into my five selections. House is one of the smartest football people you will ever listen to. And I feel very confident in saying this statement. In 15, 20 years, Daniel House will be working in a front office, whether it's in college football or the NFL. And I don't know how much longer Daniel House will be around and talking with us here in the media, but having the chance to have him fill those Derek Byrne shoes is one I'm very excited about. So we will be back after the game to hopefully talk about the first Gopher football win of the season.
Yeah. So we want to thank all of you for listening. We want to thank our partners in Homefield Apparel, the Burns Insurance Agency, and Team Dinkytown Real Estate. Please support those who make this podcast possible. Again, thank you for listening, and go Gophers.
About Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps, in line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.